If there is anything that links the human to the divine, it is the courage to stand by a principle when everybody else rejects it. And this week's opening quote comes from Abraham Lincoln. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Can you see what is coming, ladies and gentlemen? Can anyone really see what is coming? I do wonder this. You know, back in the beginning of the year, I mentioned that I could feel something very big coming in 2019. I said, this is going to be a big year. We're going to have a big event and things are going to change. And things have most certainly changed in the last few weeks since the shooting event at Christchurch in New Zealand. This has had a ripple effect, which is continuing to ripple out around the world, and we certainly haven't seen the end of it yet. In fact, the ripples seem to be just getting bigger. And we're seeing the subtle reverberations of this pretty well everywhere, folks, in areas that you wouldn't even expect. Well, maybe you would expect, it just depends on how you look at things. But things that we've predicted to be imminent are now actually beginning to happen as a result of the event at Christchurch. As I said a couple of times recently, Christchurch is like 9/11 2.0. You know, if you can think of 9/11 as being the beginning of the end game, well, what happened in Christchurch is the beginning of the final move of the end game. And as I said, it's having a ripple effect and it's going to continue. These ripples are just going to get bigger and we're seeing very noticeable effects of this event already. As I pointed out on Jeff Berwick's show the other day when Jeff interviewed me for the Anarchast, the search parameters have changed. Your searches are now being filtered on YouTube and on Google. If you search for certain things, if you search for anything conspiratorial related, anything to do with false flags, anything to do with, you know, black ops or government corruption or government cover-ups or the sort of stuff the independent media talks about, what you're going to find you get in your search results are mainstream media reports. You're going to get CNN, Fox News, The Guardian, The VT, all of this sort of stuff. This is what you're going to be getting in your search results, both on YouTube and on Google from now on. This has all happened since the Christchurch shooting. We're finding that massive amounts of websites are being blocked in Australia since the Christchurch shooting. Anything that is decentralized is being blocked. And, of course, they haven't got everything yet. They haven't got Steemit and all sorts of places yet that are still up there, but I'm sure they'll get to them later. And we're finding that it has a ripple effect in all sorts of ways. And as I said, folks, it's going to get a lot more ridiculous yet. We're going to see a lot more censorship yet. And as I said last week, a lot of this is being propelled by this whole it's all fake and CGI concept that has been thrown around the Christchurch shooting. And the problem is that people have been so well prepped for this, they really have, and many of them have just taken the bait, hook, line, and sinker, and as I said, they've been primed for it. Yeah, because so many of the events that we've seen previously have been fake. You know, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, that farce, whatever it was that happened at Las Vegas. I mean, there's so much wrong with so many of these shootings that we see. And so many people have now been conditioned to just accept that that's what it is. It's just all fake. And so all they've had to do is stage a real one. And everyone's dropped the ball on it because they've gone in there looking at it with the predisposition that they're going to find out that it's fake. And this is called confirmation bias, folks. You know, it doesn't matter what you look at. If you go in there with a predisposition that you're going to find something, well, you're going to find evidence to support it. If you look at the Christchurch shooting with a predisposition that you're expecting it all to be fake, then you're going to find evidence to support that hypothesis. If you go in there believing that it's all real and that people died, you're going to find evidence to support that hypothesis. You know, but each one of these events needs to be looked at separately because each one is a separate event. You can't start bringing comparisons of Las Vegas or Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing or any of this stuff to the table when talking about Christchurch because it's a different event. It's the same as when you're looking at the shooter's video from Christchurch. You can't go introducing stuff like, well, what about the video when he was pulled out of the car? Or what about the aftermath video from the other mosque? Because this is a different video. This is a different event. This is not what we're focusing on. What we're looking at is the shooter's video. That's what I've been doing anyway. And the reason I've been doing this, folks, is like I said, I go in there and look at this stuff without any foregone conclusion. I just let all the cards fall where they may. And what has disturbed me about it so much is the fact that people are just putting out blatantly false claims on it, like the claim of no windshield damage and the claim of CGI shell casings. And I'm really so sick of people making this claim of no shell casing. So it's video compression. Does anybody understand video compression? You know, when you make a video and you upload it to Facebook, it's subject to video compression. And how video compression works is, for example, let's say you've got a film that's around about 32 frames a second and you want to upload it to Facebook, or you're live streaming it to Facebook. It's recording at 32 frames a second, but as it's uploading to Facebook, Facebook is compressing that down to about 20 frames a second just to make the file smaller. So, of course, you're going to have things like shell casings that are flying through the air very fast. You're going to have frames missing because Facebook has dropped them out due to video compression. So it's perfectly normal to see this sort of stuff in a compressed video, folks. Now, what disturbs me about the claim of the shell casings disappearing is that while this is being said, there's actually no mention being made of the very real fact that the shell casings are actually appearing on the ground a few frames later. And to me, well, I think that's kind of irresponsible. And I think it's kind of manipulating the evidence to suit your narrative. And that's what got me talking about this, folks. I mean, it wasn't that I was claiming that it's all real, and it isn't that I'm claiming that it's anything. All I'm doing is looking at the claims other people are making, and so I'm saying, well, that's interesting. So I'll go and look at the video myself, and I'll look at the video, and I'll go, well, hang on, these claims are false, because this is not what the video shows. And I didn't go in there looking to prove that it was real. I went in there with no stake in the outcome of what I was going to find either way, to try to see if it was real or false. And what I'm finding is that, as I said, people that are making the claims are simply making false claims. And to me, that is not acceptable, and it's a cause of great concern. Now, it should be a cause for concern when looking at any of these events. If people are bringing you blatantly false information, it is a cause for concern. So that's what's disturbing about this. But these are the sort of claims that have been made. The claim of no windshield damage, the claim of disappearing shell casings, the claim of shooting nobody out in the street, and all this sort of stuff. And I've got clear video evidence of windshield damage. I mean, you can see it in the film yourself. I actually had a debate with Jim Fetzer last week and showed him photographs of windshield damage. And I asked him some questions regarding the claims he'd made, and all he could do would be misdirect the answers, go back to screaming about how there should be more blood and how the guns were toys because Gordon Duff said they're toys, and just continual misdirection. He started talking about the aftermath video, how someone was on a mobile phone, which is what you would probably do if you'd been in a shooting. I mean, it certainly doesn't stand as any evidence of fakery, certainly not in the mobile phone culture that we live in, because if you'd been in an event like that, of course you'd be texting someone to let them know what had happened. Everyone's on their phone at every opportunity. You think they'd miss an opportunity like this? Of course not. I mean, there'd probably be some people there, some people from the modern world who weren't Muslims, that within 2 minutes of it happening would be posting pictures to Instagram, because that's just the culture that we live in. You know, people are always on their phones, and you'd be letting people know. He started talking about the fact that he believed it was a dummy being dragged out of the car. Again, not the same video, and everything he could to simply avoid addressing the questions that I was raising. Just wouldn't answer them. James was more interested in defending his opinion rather than getting to the truth. He didn't really care about the truth, he just wanted to be right. But then I guess, what do we expect from a man who has a series of books entitled Nobody Died At? Nobody died at Sandy Hook, nobody died at the Boston bombing, nobody died at whatever he puts out next. I mean, I'm fully expecting him to put out one soon called Nobody Died at Vietnam and Nobody Died at World War II. They'll be interesting to read, I'm sure. But that's how he was carrying on. And whenever I pose one of these questions to him about, here is the photograph of the windshield damage, can you please explain your claim to me? All he would do would rant and rave and get incredibly angry and go back to discussing how much blood he believes there should have been and how many body parts he believes should have been flying around the room. A lot of erratic stuff, but he did not address any of the blatant disinformation he's been putting out, such as the claims of no windshield damage. And this sort of stuff, I mean, I've been looking at it, folks, because it's disinformation and it's poisoning the well. And it is detracting people from looking at three or four very, very clear points that show the government is lying. And it's covered all this up in smoke and noise. And I think it's very important that we get to the truth of this matter. And even looking at all of the claims that are being made of CGI and fakery in regard to Christchurch and the amount of division it's created and the amount of trolling I'm getting for suggesting otherwise, And again, I'm not saying that I'm even right in anything that I'm saying, because I'm not actually making any claims, so I don't really have anything to be right about. But looking at it all and figuring out how we've got to this point. Now, the problem is people go in there with a belief system, they start making claims, and they want to prove their claims to be true. And when someone comes along like me, who's actually not making any claims, I'm just examining the evidence and asking them why they're making the claims that they are. Very interesting to see how this gets turned around as well. People say, oh, you're claiming it's all real. No, I'm not. I'm just asking you to explain the photographs that I'm showing you, because the claims you guys are making are simply not true, as clearly evidenced by the video. So why is this smoke and noise being created around this event? Because it's a very important event. And as I said, folks, a couple of weeks ago or last week, the way this is going to be used is the whole fake news meme that is going to be used to shut down the independent media. You know, associate all the real truth with all of these wild speculations of claims that nobody ever dies at any of these shootings, and you know, tie it all in with the flat earth movement and everything they can to poison the well, to make sure that every provable truth we know and every real factual piece of information we can find about these events gets muddied up in all of this noise and speculation and provably false claims, such as pretty well every claim James Fetzer and Veterans Today has been making in regard to the Christchurch shooting. And yeah, I've got a lot of attacks for saying this, but hey, that's just the way it is, folks. I don't care what the general consensus says. I don't care what the general flow is. If the general flow is not true, then I'm not going to go with it simply because it's comfortable to do so. I'm going to look at the evidence for myself, and I'm going to think for myself. Now, I have copped a lot of flack from it. I've got a lot of trolling from people, but it's always the same things. It's always the same willful ignorance of the facts and of the evidence shown on the video. And as a result, of course, I had my channel penalized for what I thought was going to be 90 days. And for the last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to upload to my main Crow House YouTube channel, which very much affected things, and it reduced my reach by about 90% if the video view count is anything to go by. I've got about 10% of the views I would normally get on YouTube. But that's just the way it goes, folks. At least I'm still out there and putting the message out there, and I don't have the accounts monetized anyway, so it isn't that I'm particularly worried about the view count dropping because there's no monetary value involved. I'm just concerned about the message not being able to reach as many people as it should be at what is a very, very important time. And it is an important time, folks. I cannot stress how important this Christchurch event is, and how many ripples we're going to be seeing from this event. By the way, Vinny's had the police visit his house 5 times now, I think. Maybe it's even up to 6 by the time this show goes to air. You never know. And that's Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood channel in New Zealand that I'm talking about, of course. And again, all due to reporting on the Christchurch shooting, they really don't want people talking about this unless they're supporting the official narrative. Although, if you're saying it's fake, you'll probably still get your video out there. There seems to be plenty of them floating around. Because that, of course, plays directly into the government's hands and will help them roll out their fake news meme so the independent media can be shut down. But that's just one part of it, folks, and I don't want to dwell on Christchurch because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world as well. I mean, what's happening in Gaza at the moment, folks? I don't even want to look because it is so horrific what's going on in Gaza. They've moved the animals out of the zoo in Gaza because the living conditions are too bad there for the zoo animals to have any real hope of survival, and yet they're just allowing the people to stay there in these conditions, not doing anything to help them. Israel is continually attacking them while the world's eyes are diverted elsewhere. And this is just an ongoing thing that we expect when world situations deteriorate. We expect Israel to take action and carry out a few extra atrocities against the people of Palestine, because it's always the way. You know, history has shown us very clearly that Israel always takes the opportunity to kill a few extra Palestinian children while the eyes are diverted elsewhere with world events. World events that it very often has a hand in creating, dare I mention. But there's so many other things that are happening, and the world is very much changing, and it's going to continue to change due to this Christchurch event. In fact, if people don't get a handle on this and start reporting the truth about what happened at Christchurch and get rid of all the noise, all sorts of things are going to unfold from this. It's going to be like a domino effect. But we still have the means to circumvent this, because within the shooter's video is the information that we need that can launch the proper investigation to bring the whole system down. But we need to focus on this, and we need to get some attention drawn to it, because if we don't, as I said, it's going to be a domino effect, and all sorts of things are going to unfold from this point on the back of this event. We've seen a call now to introduce a system where you have to provide ID to stream on Facebook now, of course, because the live massacre was streamed on Facebook. So now they want to bring in ID checking on Facebook. They want to introduce this. So you'll have to show ID in order to do any live streaming. Soon you're going to need ID to do anything, folks. And it's going to be the same with vaccinations. They're going to really start ramping up this whole vaccination program as well. This, of course, will come with the introduction of 5G. It can accomplish a lot of stuff through 5G. 5G will be very likely used to create some sort of a mystery illness in the population. After all, they've been telling us that there's going to be a pandemic for years now. We've been trained to expect a pandemic. So really all they have to do is put some frequencies out there in 5G and tell everybody it's a mystery illness that they all need a vaccine for, and then introduce mandatory vaccines for adults and children alike. And that's what they are intending to do, folks. I'm expecting them to introduce mandatory vaccines within the next couple of years for adults. Of course, I won't be having one, which means I won't be able to travel. But it's going to get to the point, folks, where the people will be so filled with fear by the rubbish that the government and lamestream media feeds them that they simply won't accept people who are not vaccinated. And soon you simply won't be able to go and do anything if you're not vaccinated. You won't be allowed to even drop your children off at school. You'll find that eventually it will get to a point where you won't even be allowed into a supermarket if you're not vaccinated. Give them a few years, folks. This is how far they'll push it. Now, you'll end up confined to your house if you're unvaccinated, and you'll be seen as a danger to the rest of society. And of course, while all this is happening, the independent media will be squashed, the voices will be silenced, and so it's going to be very, very difficult for us to be able to bring any information to people. And again, the government will keep pushing, and they really want to push the spectre of fear into people. Just last weekend, the Anzac Day celebrations in New Zealand were cancelled out of fear of terrorism. How's that, folks? They stopped all the soldiers marching because there was some random shooter who shot up a mosque. And now they have to put the whole country in fear and say we can't have any Anzac Day festivities because there may be terrorism. It's just such ridiculous propaganda, folks. They just want to put that into the people. Push, push, push. And really, I mean, talk about a nanny state and talk about unnecessary propaganda fear into the people. I mean, cancelling Anzac Day celebrations. Jacinda Ardern really needs to be awarded a new medal for lameness for that one. I mean, that really was a new level of lame from this incredibly insincere woman that she is. I mean, I lost all respect for her when she put that Muslim scarf on her head. The level of insincerity she displayed by doing that really was truly nauseating. But anyway, it's the government, folks. They just push, 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 because that's what the government does. And that's what they always do, folks. They will always push as far as we let them push. And all of this is going to snowball out from Christchurch. We're going to see all sorts of things come from this step by step in other directions that you think are unrelated, but are actually all related to the amount of censorship which must be introduced simply because of the terrorism that's been created by the independent media in regard to Christchurch. You watch, and all sorts of things are going to snowball from this point. What we're going to see from Christchurch, the mandatory IDs and the shutdown of the independent media, because the independent media is going to be portrayed as those who influenced people like Brenton Tarrant to carry out the crimes that he committed. We're also going to be portrayed as completely heartless and just a bunch of conspiracy theorists who make fun of victims and call everything fake when an attack actually does occur. And people such as myself and some of the main voices in the independent media will very likely be painted as protagonists and inciters and people who instigate and influence others into carrying out acts of terrorism by the dissent that we spread through our radio shows and podcasts. Because that's the way it will be portrayed, folks. I mean, of course, dissent is necessary in any working democracy, in any functioning society. You need to have dissent. But because Brenton Tarrant's manifesto was such a dissentful manifesto, like I said, it's been kind of created to look like an ideology of the truth movement, only peppered with extremist rhetoric to make dissent look like it is basically terrorism. Anybody who speaks out against the government is a potential terrorist. That's the way it's been portrayed. So this is all going to come back on us, because that's the logical conclusion. I mean, the way it's been created and designed and the way the media is playing it, this is obviously the way it's going to roll out. And again, the people will agree with this. Most of the people out in society will agree with this, because the whole concept of how bad we really are will be propelled by this whole fake news meme, the fact that we attack victims in these shootings and claim that it's all a hoax and put out all sorts of myriads of false claims, provably false claims, such as those being put out by James Fetzer. And so the world will be sufficiently poisoned that most of the people will view personalities such as myself that are talking about peace and tolerance and attempting to expose government corruption as the enemy. You know, anything that speaks out against the government or the system will be portrayed as the enemy, because, of course, the government is there to keep you safe from all the terrible people like Brenton Tarrant and all the terrible diseases, which is why they're vaccinating you, trying to protect you, all the stuff that they feed you, which is all completely backwards. But many of the people will simply buy it because of the furor that will be created around Christchurch and the whole cries of fake and CGI and all the fake news that is coming out regarding this event. And again, folks, you've just got to look at it. Within 2 hours of the event happening, there were already people online claiming that it was all fake and it was all CGI. You know, this damage control had already gone into effect. COINTELPRO narrative was already being pushed simply due to attract people away from the important points that are revealed by the video. The fact that he had helpers there, you can see them on the video. The man in red that was there when he first entered the driveway, the man in red that was there when he shot the last victim out on the street, the fact that he got alerted by someone when three people were escaping from the perimeter from three completely different points that he had no line of sight to, and he had to drop everything and run to get them. Someone had to be telling him to do that. And the fact that there was a car parked there for most of the proceedings, which left halfway through while it was in full view of the shooter, and he was in full view of the car, and in fact, while he was shooting at somebody else escaping from the back corner. During that car left. So however the way you look at it, those 4 points revealed clearly by the shooter's video indicate that the government is lying. The media is lying. It wasn't a single shooter. He had help. And the New Zealand government is disarming its people under false pretenses. I mean, if we can get these points to public attention and put a little bit of focus on these 4 points, we could actually see a quite effective investigation launched into the New Zealand government. You know, if enough public awareness of these 4 points gets out there, then it may cause people to really look at things, and it may cause people to look at what's going on in our own countries as well and see just how these events are staged and realize that when these events happen, the government and media simply is not telling us the truth. So, you know, it's an opportunity for us, folks, if we could get some focus on this. But of course, it's been very difficult to get any focus on this. I actually got accused by James Fetzer of trying to create noise. He said these are 4 insignificant, unnecessary points that are creating noise around all of his rabid speculation and conjecture about fakery, CGI, toy guns, and all the stuff that he's saying, which is all speculation and conjecture. But he's saying, no, that's the important part. And these 4 resolute, indebatable, indisputable points that are revealed by the video, which clearly show the governments that are lying, are simply noise that I'm creating around his speculation. And when I showed him the hole in the windscreen, he even went so far as to offhandedly accuse me of manipulating evidence. In fact, and I don't like to say bad things about people, but my conversation with James Fetzer showed me clearly that James Fetzer is a barefaced liar and he's running a COINTELPRO narrative. I think it's very important that people become aware of this and get some focus on the facts and see the opportunity that some focus on these facts will actually give us to establish some freedom and inspire some sort of action in the hearts and minds of the people of New Zealand so they can stand up against what's happening to them in their country. It's really important that the people of New Zealand become aware of what's going on and become aware of how they've been played with this. It's very important they become aware of the fact that their government is lying. It really is, folks. I mean, if you care about these people, and as I said, it's going to ripple out to our own countries as well. So even if you care about yourself, you need to possibly consider the importance of this event and what we can actually achieve if we can clear the smoke and noise around this issue and actually put some focus on the well-established and provable facts that I've just outlined for you. Now, the problem is that people just don't realize they have been prepped for this event. And, you know, and when I've been looking at it, folks, like I said, I've been looking at this attempting to prove it either way. You know, belief is the enemy of knowledge. And I look at each event separately and just judge it on its own merits. And when I look at this event, I simply cannot find one shred of evidence to prove any of the claims people are making to prove their claims of fakery. And in fact, the more I look, the more I find evidence suggesting exactly the opposite. And like I said, I don't have any stake in the outcome of what I see either way. I'm just sharing my findings. And I tell you, people have dropped the ball on this event and they're being played. And if people cannot get a little bit of focus and learn to think for themselves and start reporting some real truth regarding this shooting, we're going to get totally shafted over this event, folks. This shooting was real, and claiming it's fake is one of the things, and it's going to be used to shut us all down. Actually, there's a small analysis that I've posted. If you go to my website, you go to crowhouse.com/new_directory, and that's a capital N on the new, you'll find a zip file in there called HS Analysis. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll be sure to put a link in description below to that directory. And this is a brief analysis I've done of one of the headshots in the video that people are claiming is fake with no blood, because you can actually see the blood come out of this guy's head. You can see it pour down onto the person laying beneath him in the pile. This is all there on the video, folks. So I put all this stuff up there just so people can see that a lot of the stories they're being given are simply not what the video is saying. And that's my point with all this, folks. You know, I just want to have the truth come out, whatever the truth may be, and I don't have a stake in the outcome either way. And like I said, I'm not trying to prove it's real. I'm just trying to get people to prove the claims they are making that it's all fake, because when I ask them, they're not able to show me any evidence of their claims. So I go and look at the video myself to attempt to verify their claims, and what I find is exactly the opposite. And as I said, this is a concern for me. And it should be a concern for everybody, because, as I keep saying, this is a very important event, folks, and people just seem to have generally dropped the ball on it because they've all been prepped for this event and they've gone in there looking at it with a foregone conclusion of what they're going to find. So, of course, they've found evidence to support their hypothesis, as is always the way when you start looking at any event from a point of confirmation bias to begin with. And that's unfortunately what's happened. So anyway, I think we've reached break time here, folks. So I better leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the S Day. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so there's a myriad of ways this can be played against us, and a myriad of ways we're seeing this event played out against us already. It can be used to completely disempower and remove funding from the independent media as well. We've already seen my original channel being blocked simply for bringing you this perspective. And this block was supposed to last for 3 months, but it apparently only lasted for 2 weeks, and I don't know why, but I'm able to upload to that channel again, so I'm going to try that again today with this show. But we've seen all of these sorts of things happening from simply reporting on this event. I mean, I had my channel blocked, and I was also subject to a massive amount of trolling for daring to voice this perspective and voice this opinion, because, of course, what I'm focusing on is the 4 very real, indisputable, non-negotiable points revealed by the shooter's video, which show the government is lying and could be used to launch a full-blown investigation into the government, and that is why the perspective has been squashed so dramatically. Why there's so many waves of trolls attempting to shout it down. Why I was threatened to be locked out of my Crow House YouTube channel for 3 months, 90 days in YouTube jail, simply for bringing this perspective to people, asking people to question what they're being fed and think for themselves, basically. But there's another important issue that's happened as well. There's a man in Austria called Martin Selman, and he is viewed by some as a white supremacist. He's got a movement going in Austria called Generation Identity. And it's not really white supremacist at all. What he's doing is attempting to just stand up for national pride of the country in order to address this incredible migrant influx into Europe. I mean, we know this is happening. And this is just someone who's trying to stand up and say, hey, listen, our culture is being destroyed by this planned migrant influx, which is designed to destroy Europe. And he's kind of standing up against that, and so he's been labelled as a white supremacist. But it turns out that in January 2018, Brenton Tarrant made a donation to Generation Identity, and so now Martin Selman and Generation Identity has been linked to Brenton Tarrant. Very conveniently, of course, the manifesto that was attributed to Brenton Tarrant, which I really do not believe he wrote at all, but that manifesto is called The Great Replacement. And when you go to Martin Selman's website, he talks about the great replacement of the European people that is happening via this mass migrant influx into Europe. And again, I mean, you can just go and look at the Kalergi plan, the Jewish Kalergi plan from 1928, and they talk about genociding the people of Europe via mass migration. So it's all an ongoing plan. So this is basically what he's talking about, but it's very convenient that you'll find the great replacement there on his website. He talks about the replacement of the European people, and here we have Tarrant's manifesto called The Great Replacement. So naturally, he has been attributed to influencing Brenton Tarrant and is now associated with Brenton Tarrant through that title, The Great Replacement, and of course via the donation that he received. And of course, now anybody who discusses the replacement of the European people via this migrant program that Israel is running will of course get accused of being a white supremacist and a potential Brenton Tarrant, a potential terrorist. So if anyone's looking for Israeli fingerprints on the Christchurch event, well, it's something to consider. And hey, I'm not saying anything. I'm just looking at where the trail of breadcrumbs is leading. But that's sort of what's going on, folks. You can kind of see how they've put all this together and where it can lead to. So anyway, here we have this guy, Martin Selman in Austria, who's been splattered all over the media in Europe and has been accused of being associated with terrorism simply because he received a donation. And you've got to understand, this man, Martin Selman, he didn't know who was donating to him. It was just some guy who made a random donation, the way people would do with Patreon or something like that, with our truth channels and the way we get support in the independent media, just a random donation from someone. And then this guy goes and carries out this terror attack in New Zealand, and suddenly Martin Selman in Austria, 14 months later, finds that he has 7 police knocking at his door, and now he's banned from entering the United States. He's portrayed as a terrorist supporter all over the papers in Europe. And this is simply a guy who received an anonymous donation from someone, just a random donation from someone, 14 months ago. So what does it take to get a patsy, get someone who's been set up for this event, or just set up a dummy account or whatever, and get someone to subscribe to a Truther's Patreon page for $20 a month or $50 a month or something, and then have this patsy go and carry out a terror attack somewhere, or just use him for whatever, just vilify him for the media. I mean, you could just not even have an attack. All you got to do is get this guy into public attention as some sort of terror-related activity, some sort of extremist activity, and suddenly they start looking at all the people he's been contributing to, and you find out that this guy has been paying $20 a month to about 50 different truth channels, and suddenly all of us are finding that we have the police knocking at our door to associate us with terrorist activity because of a random donation we've got from someone that we never met. And they're kind of paving the way for this to happen now with this vilification of Martin Selman. Of course, they've got to use Martin Selman because he's a public figure, and Generation Identity can be labelled by the right-wing lamestream media as being an extremist organisation because they can paint it that way, and the public will buy it. Yeah, they'll buy it even if it isn't. I mean, they'll buy it as being a right-wing extremist organisation simply because it's speaking out against the migrant influx. Oh, so, oh dear, you must be racist. I mean, this is just how the media plays things. And they just package it the right way, and they sell it to the public, and the people just generally buy it. So it creates the first step to start putting this kind of mentality into people. The way they shut down the Alex Jones channel and deplatformed Alex Jones to put that into the minds of the people, to make it acceptable to start shutting down the independent media. And how did they do it? They used Sandy Hook. They used a shooting that Alex was claiming was fake so they could get that into the minds of the people and pull on the heartstrings of the people and make Alex Jones look like this terrible evil man that you want to be banned because he's such a danger to the public, and this gets the public to accept the deplatforming of someone. And ultimately, if you're approving the banning of free speech of anybody, then you are approving of the banning of free speech for yourself. That's just the way it goes. But that's the way they do it, folks. They will do it with someone public and then create the excuse they need to make it acceptable in the eyes of the public. The way they banned David Icke from travel into Australia to make it someone very public, so it happens to this guy first. You know, and of course they package it that, oh, David Icke's a Holocaust denier and an anti-vaxxer and all this sort of stuff. So the media packages it in a way that the public will buy it because they see him as something dangerous. The way they've done with Martin Selman, the way they packaged him as a white supremacist. And so the people go along with these rights being restricted from these people, and then they don't notice it happening to the lesser people down the line. So that's the way they do it, folks. And they've set it up with Alex Jones to be able to deplatform the independent media. They've set it up with banning David Icke coming into Australia to be able to put travel restrictions on people. They've just done the same with Martin Selman, who now has had his ESTA visa revoked for the United States and he can't travel there. They've also been able to associate him with donations, random donations he's been getting. So they're kind of setting it all up and paving the way for the complete removal of the independent media. And again, it will all be based on this whole fake news meme and all the stuff that's being rolled out around Christchurch. You know, because people have dropped the ball on it. They've taken the bait. And now they're putting out all sorts of incredibly damaging stuff. And ultimately, it's because they haven't actually researched the video. I mean, if you have actually researched the video and you've really looked at it objectively without wanting either side to be true, you're going to find that you just can't support the stuff that they're saying. The evidence just simply isn't there on the video. And that's a great shame. And that's what makes me think this is all COINTEL, folks. I mean, it's all been very, very well planned. I mean, these people think massive amounts of moves ahead. And when you really start looking at how the pieces have been put in place, like I said, we've got the deplatforming of Alex Jones, the travel restrictions that are being introduced everywhere. Now we've got this guy in Austria who's just been vilified and attacked and had travel removed from him due to a random donation he received from a stranger. We're seeing this whole fake news meme lurking in the background that came about with Pizzagate. We've seen how people have been programmed to believe that all these events are fake by simply staging things such as Sandy Hook and the Boston bombing. So now, unfortunately, many people are going in and looking at these events from a standpoint of confirmational bias to begin with. And that's why they're supporting this fake news meme. We've just seen how the fake news meme has been used against Alex Jones. And so we're going to see how this is going to work to be able to deplatform people on YouTube. And we'll see that all of this is supported by YouTube and Facebook because, of course, there are now lawsuits being launched against YouTube and Facebook for daring to stream the video to begin with. So that's going to get them behind locking the independent media out of things. And if people think, well, we can still use platforms such as BitChute or 153 News or some of these decentralized platforms, well, all you've got to do is bring the possibility of a lawsuit in there using Facebook and YouTube as the example and have the lawsuit not coming from the government, but the lawsuits that have been launched against Facebook are coming from places such as the Turkish government and all sorts of bizarre places like this. So if you think you've got a decentralized platform that's just going to stay there because they've got no control over it, well, they can control it by launching a lawsuit against whoever owns it by setting the example they're about to set with Facebook and YouTube. And again, all based on this fake news meme. And again, it's very difficult to even point out to people how they're being played with some of the information that they're being fed in regard to this video. The video's been banned to the point that nobody can even talk about it. I mean, even the stuff that I'm discovering on the video, how can I make video clips and show them to you? Because if I do, I'll get deplatformed on YouTube. So all I can ask is that people go and find the video for themselves and look at what I'm saying. There's two copies of the video. Well, actually, there's three copies of the video. There's one that's about 64 megabytes or 68 megabytes. There's another one which is around about 120 meg. And there's another one which is around about 317 meg, and that's the best one to get hold of. The 120 megabyte video has 20,319 frames. The 317 megabyte video has 30,476 frames. So you actually do get a few more frames, 10,000 more frames, and so it's a little bit higher definition. So that's the video that's worth getting if you can find a copy of that. If you can't, then maybe you could email me and I may be able to hypothetically suggest somewhere it may be found. So that's what's encroaching, folks. All of this stuff is encroaching anyway. I mean, it's pretty drastic, the situation that we're facing, but hey, we still can get around it with a little bit of public awareness. You know, one of the big problems that we've really had through all this is people with the "it can't happen here" syndrome. You know, they see things happening overseas and in foreign countries, and they think, well, that's there, it'll never happen here. And see the people being disarmed in New Zealand, the people in the United States think, well, it'll never happen here. They see the social crediting system that's in China, and they think, well, it will never happen here. But it is happening here, folks. It's happening everywhere. There's a report I saw the other day of the introduction of mandatory vaccines in New York. And again, they're going to lead this to the point that you eventually won't even be able to get in supermarkets if you don't have a vaccine, folks. You know, this is the way it's going. And when you look at the social credit system that they've got in China, you know, once they can get the currency digitized and they can move into a social crediting system, which they can base on your vaccine status or anything, you know, give you social credit points according to your vaccine status, which gives you permission to enter certain supermarkets, sort of drop your child off at school or whatever, you know, all under the guise of public safety and all the stuff that they present you. You know, and like in China, they got facial recognition glasses, and don't think these aren't coming to a city near you as well. I mean, the police, I'm sure, in Australia and Canada, New Zealand, the United States, everywhere would love to have facial recognition glasses. So don't think it's not going to happen. You know, they just trial these things in different countries, but, you know, you can talk to anybody in just about any country and they'll say, oh, we're a beta test site for the stuff that they want to do for the rest of the world. And that's true for just about everywhere because they test things in different countries. Different things, different countries, different strokes work for different folks. But eventually it all becomes the one thing. And all of these things are related, you know, 5G, the removal of gun rights, all these mass shootings, the vaccination programs, the fluoridation of the water, all of this stuff is tied together, folks. It all ultimately leads to the one thing. And again, people aren't really being able to get a focus on it because of the "it can't happen here" syndrome. They've got to realize that we're all in this together. You know, when you look at the world, you know, people are kind of locked into nationalism a bit. I mean, I can appreciate people want to protect their own countries and all that sort of stuff, but if you can really look at it, you know, the world is a multifaceted thing. But ultimately, if you look at all of our countries, I mean, as I've said so often, really when you look at the worldwide government system, what you've got is a multinational, multi-generational criminal cabal, which is masquerading as government, which has put itself over the top of all of our countries. And it's just a scam. You could think of it as a big people farm, and each pen is designated as a nation, and the people within that pen are given a sense of national pride. They're allowed to leave their pen now and then and go and visit other pens. They're only allowed to usually stay in these other pens for about 3 months, and they have to leave that pen and go back to their original pen. But it's basically a system of people farming. And what you've got puppeteering the whole thing over the top is a multinational, multi-generational criminal cabal masquerading as government. And they all work together. You know, it's just a scam. It's racketeering. They just sit there and they put people in fear and they extract all the wealth they can from the people. And they make sure they abide by the rules of their particular pen that they're in. But the whole thing is a scam and it's just an idea. Now, and even saying it's an idea, some people hear that and they'll say, well, what do you mean it's just an idea? Well, it's the idea that authority is real. This respect for authority that's ingrained into us, you know, this superstition that we have that the government is our friend. All this stuff that we're fed, folks. I mean, all the stuff that I've outlined to you on the show today, I mean, it's a pretty desperate future that is unfolding before us. But the fat lady hasn't sung yet. You know, and even when I look at some of this stuff, I mean, a lot of people may think this is just really negative to look at this, but you know, you can't heal a problem if you don't know what the problem is. If you don't know the problem's there, then you can never rectify the situation. You know, and I don't know what all the ultimate answers to all this is. I don't know what the ultimate means of escape from this prison is. I don't know what the ultimate solution will be. All I know is that public awareness certainly can't hurt things. I mean, if we had public awareness and we had a public that was able to really think for themselves, given time to think for themselves, perhaps we would never have gotten into this situation to begin with. But we are in a situation, folks. I mean, what we're facing in the world today, this certainly isn't normal. You know, and our children, our kids are being brutalized on so many levels. 72 vaccines that kids have now by the time they start preschool or something. I mean, the damage this would be doing to a young immune system, it's absolutely mind-boggling. And the schools themselves have become little more than psychological prisons, you know, psychological abuse systems for children. You know, we've got publicly sponsored and government-sponsored child abuse going on in the schools simply in the manner of the education system itself, which is all based on fear-based mind control. It's all based on the threat of punishment. You must do what you're told or you get punished. Everything we do is under the threat of punishment. That's how they keep us in line, folks. And it's this superstition, this idea that authority is real, which creates the majority of the problems. Now, as I've said, we could get ourselves out of this mess that we're in simply by applying ourselves to our moral compass and refusing to step outside our moral compass. That would make a difference. You know, all the legislation that we abide by is there because we are willing to step outside our moral compass in order to obey rules that somebody else writes on paper. You know, I've gone through this so many times, and that's what creates this whole situation. I mean, even coming back to Christchurch, you know, what this video gives us is really a gift if we can clear the smoke away from it. And that's why I've been focusing on it so much. I mean, with all that we do in this so-called truth movement or the resistance, you know, we try to find little things, something, anything that is going to make a difference. Yeah, because what is the way out? And I've often encouraged people, do anything you can. Even if you think joining a political party will help, well, hey, join it. Do what you can to undermine the system from within. Put spanners in the works from every possible direction that we can. But even with doing all this, you know, we look for these little moments, these little nuggets of truth that we can find to help propel us forward in some way. And that's what this Christchurch video is, if we can clear the smoke and mirrors and noise away from it. Now, like I said, you know, people accusing me of creating noise by trying to point out these four resolute points in this video, and I'm being accused of creating noise around all this speculation and conjecture, CGI shell casings, and whether there was enough blood, and whether the body should have been in the corners, and whether there was this, and whether there was that, all of which is speculation and conjecture, and is creating noise around these four incredibly resolute points, these four points that show clearly that the New Zealand government and the media is lying. And if they're lying about this event, then how many events have they lied about? This is the kind of way we can bring it to the public if we can get some attention on this. And the way the video has been banned even, I mean, the way I've been vilified for even pointing this out, I mean, all this is a gift if we can get some focus on it, because it shows this is important. It shows these four points are very, very relevant. These four points are something the New Zealand government is terrified of people finding out about, and I would suggest a lot of governments are terrified of anybody finding out about these four points revealed by this shooter's video. Because we've got this huge media storm being cooked up in every direction we can think of. We've even got, like I said, the Turkish government wanting to sue Facebook and wanting to sue New Zealand and all sorts of trouble that's happening between all sorts of people, all sorts of lockdowns and clampdowns and media storms being created everywhere, every direction they can find to stop you looking at the evidence that is revealed within this video. And those who are looking at the video, they just want you arguing about CGI, no shell casings, even the stuff that I've been posting. I've been getting trolled by massive amounts of people, and they'll put these posts in there. I'll give you like 6 or 7 or 8 like really detailed questions, which would take you an enormous amount of time to answer. And they're questions that very often you can't answer because they're speculative questions. But you'll get these trolls, which will do this. And I'll post this big list of, oh, I've got all these things I require you to answer, because they're just trying to take up your time defending all these points. And you can't post the video. You can't show them because you can't show the video. And while you're wasting your time defending yourself against all these people, you're not paying any attention to these four points. You're not paying any attention to creating awareness in the community of the opportunity this video provides for the people of New Zealand. So that's why they do it. That's why I just copy-paste, folks. I have these comments here. I think, okay, well, I'm getting all of these questions related to this. So I just have one answer that I have in a notepad there. I just copy and paste the same answer to everybody. People say, oh, you're copy-pasting. And, well, of course I am. What do you think? I'm going to sit here and waste time responding to everybody's personal quims. I mean, it's a ridiculous concept. But anyway, that's what we need to do, folks. We need to get a bit of focus in this truth movement. If we're going to be a truth movement at all, then we need to focus on what the truth is and not just go along and jump on the bandwagon. And hey, with what I'm saying, I'm not asking you to jump on my bandwagon at all. I mean, I don't have a bandwagon, folks. Like I said, I went in there and started looking at this video, not wanting anything to be true, not expecting either side to be correct. I just went in to see what the evidence would show me. And what the evidence showed me is that all these claims people are making simply cannot be verified by the evidence contained within the video. I mean, the video just simply does not say these things. So people are fabricating a lot of stuff, and that gives me pause to question why. Because there is very real stuff, like I said, these 4 points in this video, which are extremely important. And, you know, to me, I think that's a focus. As I said, folks, I think it's a gift. This video truly is a gift because of what it reveals to us, if people can simply look at it through the right kind of eyes. I think it's relevant, folks. I really do. I mean, I think that's why I've been shut down. It's pretty obvious that they don't want anyone talking about this, and that's probably why I'm going to keep talking about it, because, well, it needs to be discussed. But, folks, I think we are getting very close to the end of the show here, so I might have to leave it there and not get onto any more tangents at this point. Although I do have a bit of a postscript, because while I've been recording this show, I've just found out that Julian Assange has been arrested in England. He's been expelled from the Ecuadorian embassy and he's been arrested by the UK police, and now he is going to have to stand trial in England. And add all this to everything else we've just gone through today, folks, all of the dominoes that have been set in place, because what we see with the arrest of Julian Assange is that this effectively breaks all international laws and treaties as well. And this, of course, means that, legally speaking, we are now entering into an entirely new international legal reality. So we can just add that as the cherry on top of the cake that these corrupt criminals are cooking up for us. But that is it for me, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I'm speaking in Brisbane on the 25th of April. If there's anybody in the Brisbane or Gold Coast area that would like to come and have a chat, I'm not sure how long I'll be speaking for, probably an hour or two or something like that, but it's an event that is on Facebook. You'll find a link to it on Facebook anyway. It's called Speakeasy, and it's presented by the Esoteric Collective. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll find a link to it. I don't really know where the event is. I can't tell you where it is. I have no clue myself, but I'm sure I'll get told where it is before the event happens. But if you go and look on Paul Seal's webpage, or just go to my page on Facebook, I've shared a link there, and you should be able to find some sort of information about this event anyway. Again, that's on the 25th of April in Brisbane. That's probably the only talk that I'll be doing in this area for a little while. There may be one coming up in Byron Bay in the next couple of months. If that happens, I'll let you know. I haven't really organised anything there yet, but I've heard that it's on the cards. So that's one thing that's happening. Another thing that's happening is that, well, I can't really tell you about it, but before this show goes to air, I'll be going to a 5G meeting here on the Gold Coast to try to inform people about the dangers of 5G. So that's a little bit of on-the-ground activism that's happening at home as well. And I urge people to get involved in 5G and get involved in bringing information about 5G to the public. I believe 5G has just been banned in Brussels and maybe 4 or 5 cities in Europe, so I urge you to go and look up that as well. I can't look it up for you, folks. Just go to a search engine and type in 5G banned in Brussels, and I'm sure you'll find information about that, and you'll find information of other cities, I'm sure, that will be linked to that article as well. And that will be good fuel that you can use on the ground where you live. I mean, if the authorities are coming and telling you that 5G is safe and giving you all these excuses, you can say, well, if it's so safe, why are these 5 cities in Europe banning it for health reasons? And just see how they go with a question like that. Perhaps that will help things anyway. Again, thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. I'm hoping everybody got their T-shirts last week. I sent all the T-shirts out, so I'm really hoping everybody got those. There's still a couple more. I've got a couple more orders I'm going to send out this week for T-shirts. You should get them next week. I am still attempting to get on top of the emails. I'll actually start updating the website again soon. I've actually kind of let that go by the wayside a little bit because I've been so busy. But thank you to all the people who do continue to send me so many kind words. Thank you to the people who stuck by me through all this trolling as well. I mean, it's amazing to watch because you'll see these shows. I mean, I'll put out a show and it might get 5 or 10,000 views and there'll be 2,000 comments and 1,500 of them are negative and attacking me for my stance on the Christchurch shooting. But then I look at the votes, there'll be like 5,000 votes and it'll be like 4,800 upvotes and 200 downvotes. So the upvotes definitely outweigh the comments. So, you know, it's armies of trolls and troll farms that are coming to attack these videos. And thank you to all the people who can see the points that I'm making and have been standing by me through all this as well. You know, I think it's quite important that we get some focus on this. I really do. And it is, folks. It's important. It's certainly important for the people of New Zealand. It's important for us here in Australia. We're feeling the repercussions. And again, they're feeling it in Austria. You're starting to feel it all around the world. It is really important that we get some focus on this issue. So thank you to all those people who've been supporting me through this. And as always, thank you, thank you, thank you to my Patreon supporters. I could not do any of this if it wasn't for you. So thank you for that support. And thank you for helping me keep this message going. And again, folks, I'm now back on my old Crow House channel. I don't know how this has happened, but hey, uploads are enabled. So I'm back there again. Let's see how long it lasts. So I'll see you back on the main channel. And that is it for me now, folks. So I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.